Hello, I'm Carolyn Baines from Farnham Quakers, and I just want to welcome you to this Centering Down with Compassion podcast. Centering down is a term some Quakers use to describe the process of coming into stillness. And each month, we take one of the 42 short paragraphs that Quakers use to help them explore different aspects of a spiritual life. And these are referred to in the rather quaint term of advices and queries. So our group is open to anyone who would like to explore ways into stillness and community. And if you want to get in touch, please visit farnham.quakermeeting.org. I hope you enjoy. So officially a very warm welcome to everybody. I'll start as we usually do, just reading Advices and Queries 27, and as usual the invitation is just to let it sort of wash around you a little bit, like you're having a bedside story read. It's just sort of floating about, and maybe there's a word or two that just rings something for you. Live adventurously. When choices arise, do you take the way that offers the fullest opportunity for the use of your gifts in the service of God and the community? Let your life speak. When decisions have to be made, are you ready to join with others in seeking clearness, asking for God's guidance, and offering counsel to one another? What a life-affirming advice this is. Live adventurously. Live adventurously. It's like a big fat yes to life, yeah? I don't know, the image I get is arms outstretched, hugging the world. And it's sort of contrast, isn't it, between that and this instinctive contraction that can happen, which is a little bit like hiding under the duvet. Ooh, don't make me do it. There is a tendency, I think, to make ourselves and our lives small, shrinking into what is safe and known. But this advice seems to ask us to turn all that on its head. Embrace life. Live adventurously. And sometimes living adventurously can feel a little bit like facing a pack of snarling mastiffs who come thundering down at you, all teeth and barking. So I got this image from Geraldine Brooks's wonderful novel, March. I don't know if you've read it. The hero faces this exact situation. And she writes, you know, knowing a thing or two about dogs. So what he does is he greets the pack joyously and enthusiastically. And soon, you know, they're gambling around him, best of friends. She says, 9 dogs in 10 will greet fear with aggression and friendship with fine humour. So living adventurously, perhaps also living in friendship with life. And I'm really struck by how it follows on from last month's exploration of needs and gifts. How do we stand in relationship to our gifts? Do we feel duty bound by so many, you know, shoulds and oughts that our gifts end up feeling more burdensome than freeing? You know, it's like someone's trying to give me a gift, but I don't really take it in. I'm like that annoying relative who says, oh, you shouldn't have. I really couldn't, you know. Instead of, oh, thank you, and really sponging it up. Or maybe like when someone hugs you and you don't really want it and you kind of, but what about if you're really taking it in, it really lands. So what if our gifts aren't something we're supposed to give away before we've even unwrapped it for ourselves, but something we're really being given? We're being given, this is for you, a present, Go play with it. Have fun. Get curious. Get creative. Live adventurously. I think my tendency has always been to give away the gift before really having it, before really even acknowledging it. And if we aren't careful, we might read this advice in a way that encourages that. Do you take the way that offers the fullest opportunity for the use of your gifts in the service of, but watch out, it says, in the service of God and the community. It's interesting that God comes for us first. Like, I think if we don't take it for ourselves, it's like we're hungry and we're given a sandwich and we immediately give it away, right? But notice it does say God first. So I'm curious, does that mean, you know, if we're going to take seriously that God is love, then our gift must first be about the fire of love in our own hearts. Can I really take this in? Howard Thurman wrote, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." How do we kind of peel back to our core and find out what makes us come alive? You know, what gift have we been given? And can we let ourselves unwrap it and really take it in? So we're going to just pause here, take a breath, and do a really short exercise and just explore this idea of a gift. Okay. So I'll invite you to maybe just sort of get in touch with your feet, perhaps take a deeper breath. Maybe roll your shoulders if you want to, or adjust your sitting so that you can relax. And you might want to take a moment to just move your neck around a little bit. Like we can tuning a radio to the wisdom of the body. Letting your tummy relax. Just noticing which parts of the body are a bit tight. Inviting the system to come into some stillness. Centering down, finding your center. And perhaps letting your center of gravity come down out of the head. Perhaps let it drop into the belly or the pelvis, somewhere deep in you. Maybe let your breath ride along for a bit. And if you'd like, bring a beloved being to mind. It can be a spiritual being or a being of nurture. Can be human or non-human. It can be an expression of nature. But perhaps in its presence you really sense how precious, how cherished you are. And just sort of hang out there, letting in that feeling. Experiment with saying thank you to this being. for loving you. What happens in your system when you say thank you? And now imagine this being giving you something, a gift, just for you. You can take your time and go ahead and unwrap it. And what's it like, again, if you say thank you? You really accept it, let it land in you. And maybe not, but maybe there is a place in the body where it really particularly lands. If you like, you can put a hand on that part. Maybe this gift is clear and easy to see, but maybe it's more of a feeling or an image of light. It's fine for it to be whatever it is. Saying that maybe there's some more words you want to say to your beloved being as you draw to a close. When you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. And if you want to, you can write down a note or two if there was something that you particularly want to come back to later. Or it may be very clear that you won't forget it. I'd love to ask, just because I was aware of what it meant for me, what did you notice, if anything, when you said thank you? What did you notice to about how the gift landed, if anything. I'll say what my experience was, and Mo, are you gonna share? Yeah.
I think it felt like it sort of came into my body at that point. Right. There was this, this some sense of where in my body I felt that at that point.
Yeah. You've put it really well. That was my experience too. When I said thank you, it landed in the body. Like, I hadn't really taken it in until then. It was like, oh, I can't really have it. But, oh, suddenly, there it is. And I was just really interested about that. So I'm delighted that someone else had that feeling too. That's lovely. Don't worry at all if you didn't have that. But it might be something to play with around this idea of gifts. Do we let our gifts land inside us? Or are we too busy being worthy and giving our gifts away, you know? Thank you. So, I don't know what else I want to say about this. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about, living adventurously. I think for me, it's something about having to let go of thoughts and beliefs, perhaps about how I think life should be. Yeah, and really being a little bit more open to what really is here. And then maybe choices arise. So opening to life as it is something that Michael Singer in the Michael Singer podcast, if you follow him, suggests we practice with what he calls low-lying fruit. And for him, low-lying fruit is the weather, okay? Since the weather is something we can do absolutely nothing about, being able to practice with it, allowing it to be as it is, as we tend to kind of, be grumbly about the weather. But he suggests saying, I can handle it. I can handle some rain or some wind. I can handle it if it's hot or cold, that sort of meeting it as it is and knowing inside, I can handle this. And it's a skill that can quickly spread. Meeting life as it is, this is how it is, and I can handle it. And then we're perhaps less contracted, less defending against it. So the advice also gives us encouragement to give each other counsel. I was really glad to you, Mo, for flagging this up to me. And it prompted me to have a look in advices and query in Quaker Faith and Practice about clearness. And I don't think it's saying here that we need to give unasked for advice, but it is worth reflecting on how we offer counsel to each other. And do we stay up in our heads and trying to think out what to say? Perhaps, scanning our own lives to see if there's something of relevance that we can offer. Or are we able to stay in some stillness, center down, come into some peace, the wisdom of our bodies, and just deeply listen to the other, just like we've been practicing listening deeply to ourselves. It's very hard. In fact, I would say impossible to give to others what we haven't properly given to ourselves. And as I said, Quaker Faith and Practice describes meeting for clearness where there is a focus person who is bringing a need for clearness about a particular course of action, testing or leading, and joins with others to seek a way forward. And it's a vulnerable thing, I think, to ask for support in this, and it takes trust. So I guess the first thing is we need to be trustworthy. Not judgmental, not breaking confidence. Those are sort of core things, aren't they? Coming from a place of centeredness, stillness. And really, I think opening a space, a wide space, for the other person to unburden themselves. And that can do, they might need to do a lot of unburdening, right? There can be a lot of stuff. And I think Thich Nhat Hanh says it really beautifully. You know, sometimes we often really just need to receive someone, really fully let them lay down their pain, and that's the greatest gift we could give. And we don't need to be nervous about doing that. It's not going to hurt. And it can really relieve someone's confusion or anxiety or grief. So I guess thing one here, isn't it, is taking heed to the promptings of love. Just making that loving space for them to unburden. And if we can stay rooted in our bodies, giving space. And then, yes, take heed to the promptings of love and truth. So in truth, I sort of feel clearness is a little bit like doing rain out loud. We're really clear about what we're bringing to the table. What do we want clearness about? Can we allow it? Can we unburden ourselves of all the feelings around it? And then the eye of rain is that investigating. And I think that's where we can be really wonderful counsellors, if we can open to really, really good, curious, open-ended questions, inquiries. How does it feel when you imagine this? Or to those sorts of questions. And I can share, and if you like, I will be sharing all of this with you very soon. So there are all sorts of questions that are useful for investigating when you're doing rain for yourself, but also when you're being in the role of counsel for somebody else. And finally, I'm just going to scooch back to the Let Your Life Speak, and we're going to take a moment to do another short exercise, if you're willing to give it a go. Let Your Life Speak. So, because I'm a singing teacher, as many of you know, I kind of think of this as a little bit like, well, what's my song? What am I singing to the world? Or Let Your Life Sing. I kind of like that. But let's try this. Let's try another short exercise if you're willing to have a go. So, yeah, if you need to move again, you've been sitting for a few minutes, so rocking, feeling your sit bones, getting in touch again with your feet, softening your tummy. Taking a few deeper breaths and centering down again. So we've been given a gift. Maybe it's an image of light, or an image of something more concrete, or maybe a word that came up for you. Just tune in again to that gift, and yeah, if it's showing up anywhere as an image in your body, let your mind go with that. So let your life speak. Maybe there is a North Star, a lodestar that for you guides you. It's a deeply held value that you sort of feel really aligned with. Or when you are aligned with, you really feel things are in the right ordering. And see if you can sense a word or two of what this lodestar is. What is this value that guides you? It's your light in the dark. If you like, you can let that light really shine on this gift you were given. Let it surround the gift, or energize the gift, or flow towards it. It's like you've not only been given a gift, you've been given the batteries to make it really go well. Let your life speak. Good. And when you're ready, you might bow to your North Star or in some way thank it and gently open your eyes, come back together. And if there was a word or two that came to you for this guiding star, this guiding value, maybe you'd like to write it down, jot it down for yourself. Good. So we got some time to go into small groups to share. We can just remind ourselves of deep listening, staying in out of our heads, staying in our bodies, letting each other speak, letting there be a pause between offerings. And this is your play box, right? This is your sand tray to try out things. And we can be perhaps brave a little bit here. If you want to try a clearness, we've got a good 25 minutes to, you know, I've got this thing and I would really like to try, and why not offer counsel to each other and try things out, obviously with permission to each other. So Now, let's see. We're us, eight of us, including me. So why don't we go into pairs? Or would we? Do we want to be in slightly larger groups than that? It's kind of nice to be in fours, because then we can sort of learn for so much from each other. So why don't we? I'll do that, I think, if that's all right. If I can, I don't do this enough to remember. Breakout rooms. Here we are. I will create two breakout rooms, assign automatically. Welcome back. It's lovely to see you. I think our other friends should be here any moment. A few more seconds. Well, whilst we're waiting, would anyone like to share anything? Well, when we get everyone back together, anything that you'd like to sort of take into the month ahead, any thoughts or feelings or insights that you would like to sort of, I really want to take that into my, I want to download it, so to speak, into my system. I was just saying hello, welcome. I was just inviting everyone to, if you'd like to say, if there's something you want to take away from this evening, what would it be? What would it be? And what I'll do is I'll start with someone, and then if they can, you don't have to say anything, do pass if you really haven't got anything you particularly want to share, but maybe you could pass on to somebody else. So Yogi, because you're on my top left, would you like to start?
Yes, I'm actually going to take away the idea that when somebody gives me something physically or just in words, and I say thank you, it's not just a to be polite, that I genuinely mean it, and I appreciate the person who's done that, even if it's on the internet. Somebody sends me an email thanking me for a piece of work I did for them, or some advice I gave them, or thanking people in the library for finding a book that I'm looking for. I just realised that I've been through my entire life of just saying, oh, thank you, or something. I'm never actually physically meaning it. It doesn't go down into my... I say soul, because for me, the soul is my centre of my body. No, that's my big takeaway from today, actually. And it's almost a revelation that I've been doing that all these years, and not recognized it, of course. And I'll pass to Catherine.
In our group, we really went into the words live adventurously and what they meant, what those words meant, and what they came to mean, and the fact that the different moments of your life, the words mean different. Those words, live adventurously, mean different things. That was very interesting. That was very interesting. Now pass to Elaine. There we go.
You're muted at the moment, Elaine. You're still on mute. There you go.
By the time we get to Advice and Queries 2000, I will have
put myself unmuted in time. I felt at the end in harmony with the other people in our group because Evelyn had nipped off to go somewhere, and the three of us were left together, and we realised just what a wonderful gift Caroline has and how blessed we are by her sharing this gift. And now I'm going to go to Mo.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's so much from what's happened this evening, but I think what's landed with me finally is that I've actually just written a letter to the friend about an article that was in a couple of weeks ago about someone who'd been attending mini clearness committees, which was just like three people, and I'm hoping that she might reply and tell me how she did that and whether they're available on Zoom, because it's something I'd really be interested in finding out about practicing more. I think it's such a wonderful Quaker process that we've got that is underused generally and could be such a benefit to us. And so I'd like to be part of that. And I think that's what I'm putting out into the world now. I'm saying it here too, is to use the Quaker process of clearness on a regular basis, I think would be a great gift to everyone who is involved in it through that curious care and curiosity to bring to each other. But I could go on about that for a long time, but I will pass on to Jane.
In Dublin, we don't do clearness. I've read about it. I've never experienced it. And I've asked about it because I was curious about it. And it isn't done in the way I think you're what you're speaking about. So I keep trying to imagine what it is. I know we're very good in business meetings of waiting and listening, and it's very powerful. And so I think it must be related to that waiting and hearing everybody. But it's also, in my head, related to what I was talking about in the group, about just being very present, very present to what other people are saying or thinking. I'd like to know more about clearness.
Thank you, Jane. Would you like to pass on to somebody?
Anne. I'll pass on to Anne.
Well, I'm taking away a lot, but I'll say I'm taking away what I'm sitting most with is being with others, being with all of you tonight, and valuing that and valuing being with myself as well. So that's the gift that I'm thinking of. And I'm taking away, it's what Caroline said at the end about creativity and playfulness, and just being reminded of that and how lovely to feel that in an energy I felt tonight. The play box, when you said about the play box, I thought that's lovely. Just that almost the permission to play. So I'm taking that. Thank you.
I think it's John still to go. John.
I'm grateful for this evening and grateful for Karen. And And I think gratitude, yes, is the beginning of spirituality, actually, that the ability to give thanks, really to give thanks, to feel gratitude, not just to say thank you, is so important. I think I'll leave it at that.
Well, dear friends, thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be in community with you and to, just sort of feel that warmth and love, just like a Monday evening hug. Really wonderful. So thank you, and I kind of feel your presence with me as all the weeks, between our times together. It's really special. I really value it. And I love your emails. I love hearing from you about how it's all going. So thank you for those too. Well, should we unmute and on three say go well to each other? One, two, three. Go well, dear ones. Go well.
Go well.
Go well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.